Just waiting for the mad rush to die down as the kids head out. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Just if you know, there's a few copies left of this magazine called Commission. It is the Assemblies of God magazine for that advertises everything that we do in mission. And I happen to work on that group, and there's an article written by yours truly called Reaching People with the Gospel. And that would be great if you get a copy of that. There's only a few left, and you can go and read the heart of what we do and why we do what we do. Great to see you here this morning on this beginning of a Christmas season. And I know everybody's waiting for Thanksgiving to be over so that they can put up their Christmas trees. Our British friends, they jumped the gun and they beat us and had Christmas trees up since October. But it's great. I love the Christmas spirit. I love that. The atmosphere. I love it all because it's about celebrating the coming of the risen Lord. It's about celebrating, you know, and I love that chapter, verse that's in Isaiah chapter 9. And it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the beginning of his government and rule, there shall be no end. Come on, beloved. Jesus is in your heart and he's in your life. The potential, the power to last for an eternity, it resides in you and in me. And I tell you, the most encouraging thing that I can think of right now is that because Jesus lives in us, there is nothing impossible for us. Because he resides in us. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want to go real quickly this morning. I need you to go to Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, and I want to begin reading from verse 26, and it goes like this. Now the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Let me tell you something. What we need to understand is sometimes when God comes close to us, sometimes it doesn't feel good, but yet it is good. And sometimes God has to come to us in a way. And so, you know, this Mary was not feeling good at this time because she had no idea or no realization or no revelation of who it was that was speaking to her. And so it made her feel uncomfortable. Do you know that sometimes the Holy Ghost can make you feel uncomfortable even though he is a comforter? And the reason why you become uncomfortable, because he has a plan that exceeds where you are right now. His plan for you is bigger than where you are right now. So when he comes to reveal that plan, sometimes it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to show you something later on, but sometimes we have a problem in the body of Christ is we prefer everything from the scripture to make us feel good. We want the word that's going to make us feel good. Brother Ben, you are going to be great in God. You're going to flow with the power of the Holy Ghost like nobody has ever seen before. We want that. But when God comes to us and says, "I need to change your character. I need to do something about what's in your heart," we don't want to hear that. I want to challenge us this morning that until we have balance, we have nothing. Until we have balance, we have nothing. The Bible says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. We got to have balance. But I want to encourage you this morning with something else. That's not really where I'm going, but I want to encourage you this morning. But I just felt we need to hear that. Do you know, in the body of Christ, we need to hear the truth. There's a thing out there today that tells you, you need to be positive. Beloved, let me tell you something. You can be positive and positively put people to death. We need truth. Balance. I don't want somebody to tell me I'm okay if there's somebody on their way to come and strangle me or kill me. I don't want nobody telling me, you okay, Vince? Everything's going to be all right. It's going to work out. And somebody is about to kill me. I need somebody who has the courage to look me in the eye and say, brother, you're wrong. You need to turn around. You need to be what God has called you to be, not what you want to be. Are you hearing me? We need to be courageous to tell the truth. Brother Vince, you look good in that mirror. Muscles is building up. That's a lie. I look at me every day in the mirror. My muscles ain't where they want to be. But I tell you, I'm glad I'm with a man, working with a man that will tell me, Brother Vince, Pastor Vince, you need to work harder. Because if somebody doesn't tell you the truth, if nobody has the courage to tell you the truth, you'll always be what you are. And you'll never change. I want the truth. I want to know where I got a mole so I can deal with it. I want to know where I got a wrinkle so I can deal with it. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's press on. Where did I stop? What verse? Okay. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called, his name shall be called Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and of his kingdom. And there will be no end to it. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come to you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. We're going to look at that word. It's a very important word. He will overshadow you. And therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. And this now the 6th month of her who was called barren. 6th month of her who was called barren. Now I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 10. And it says this. Moreover, the Lord spoke to again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord, and your God asked it either, I'm sorry, ask a sign from for yourself from the Lord your God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know what Emmanuel means, being God with us. He said, listen, now that text in Isaiah was a very important text, but it also prophesied not only the coming of Jesus, but the king Hezekiah, and who was going to be the one who would help Israel during this time of bondage and struggle. But it not only spoke of Hezekiah, but it also speaks of Jesus that's coming. So the sign that we're going to talk about, because we are talking about Jesus, a sign. That's our topic. Jesus, a sign. Now, the sign that we're speaking about, here they were proclaiming or talking about Hezekiah. But that sign that God was giving them was not just for their immediate situation, but it was for also for the generations that are coming. Was not just about Hezekiah, but it was also about Jesus who was coming. Now he said, I'm going to give you a sign. Now, we know that Jesus in himself was complete. He wasn't smaller or lesser than, but he was a sign of what is coming. Even in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus as being a door. Not only just a door, but a door that is opening to something bigger than just him alone. Jesus said, you see me, you see the Father. And he said, now, this thing about salvation, this door of salvation is only an initiation into something more. I want you to stay with me. See, because we see coming to church and we see Jesus in the terms of just salvation. But that's just the door to something more. Okay? See, we think that we got saved, we have entered in, and everything is complete. We come through the door, and now we're saved, and it's complete. I need to tell you, it's more to your life than just coming to salvation. God has more for you than just you just being saved. In the Old Testament, when the children were going to be delivered out of Egypt, he told them, I want you to put the blood of the lamb, the precious lamb, over the door. But he didn't just finish that there. You can read it in Exodus. He says, I want you to eat the lamb. You see, it's not just about being saved out of something. It's also about what you are becoming after you're saved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, you are what you eat. Yeah, you are. We are what we eat. Yeah, if I'm going to be like Jesus, I need to eat the whole lamb. Not just the part of the lamb that I like. Yeah, I have to eat his ears if I'm going to eat it here like him. I have to eat his tongue, so if I'm going to talk like him. I have to eat his heart if I'm going to emote like him. And dare I say, I have to eat the brains of the lamb if I'm going to think like him. I've got to eat the feet if I'm going to walk like him. If I'm going to be like the lamb, I've got to consume the whole lamb. Not just the parts I like. I've got to eat it all. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so, he only not only came to save us, not just empower us to salvation, but he wants to teach us how to live in this world while we're waiting to be transformed to the one that's coming. He came as a sign to give us direction. I'm going to repeat that. How to live now. Because some people get saved and they come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They say a prayer, and from that point on, they continue on the same way they were before they even made the prayer. The same attitudes, the same thoughts. Heaven forbid, he saved us to become like him. I love that little thing that it says, you know, that little phrase they used to have, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Because if you can't see it in him, and if we can't see it being like him, if we don't see him doing it, then we shouldn't be doing it. Isn't that what Jesus said of himself? I only do what I see the Father doing. So we should be saying, I only do what I see Jesus doing. Instead of dressing up bad attitudes, bad temperament with holy conversation. That doesn't change what we really are. Only the blood, only the power of his Holy Spirit can do that. But we have to be partner in that. Partnering him in that. Allowing him to do what he wants to do. Okay, stay with me. Now, what he wants to do is to empower us through salvation, but also to live appropriately and relevantly. Appropriately, right standing with his kingdom, and relevantly, in touch with mankind. Are you hearing me? He wants us to live appropriately and relevantly. I can't be relevant if I'm not living appropriate. I can't have impact and be relevant to mankind with good fruit that brings change to the people around me if I'm not living appropriately or according to the kingdom, according to his plan and according to his purpose. We're going to see that here. Stay camp out with me for a few minutes. Y'all got your picnic baskets? Just camp out with me. AJ, you bring some of that bacon with you, bro? Just camp out with me for a minute, and we're going to get somewhere this morning. Boy, that bacon was the bomb on Saturday, boy. Let me tell you something else. I know a young man who was eyeing up a piece of bacon. I mean, after we ate several packs of bacon, when a bunch of men get together, we eat. Pancakes, bacon, and eggs, and it was just so good. And Joe, he ate up all the most bacon in the place. Now listen, remember, Jesus is a sign. He's a sign of how we're to live. Now, this is the purpose of a sign. This is a sign. This is what a sign does. It distinguishes from where you are to where you need to get to. A sign distinguishes the difference of where you are and where you need to get to. And a sign points from where you are to where you need to go. Ain't nobody in here can say they're exactly like Jesus. And nobody in here can say, I have made it. I have the mind of Christ fully. I live like him. I talk like none of us are there. We are following and given direction by a sign. And that sign is Jesus. Okay. Now, the Bible also says that, as I said a few minutes ago, that he is a door. He is a door. And John, you can read, he says, I am the door. By me, the sheep enter and find pasture. So, they didn't have pasture before, but they go through the door being Jesus, and suddenly something opens up to them that they did not have before. It's important for you to hear that. I'll say it again. Suddenly, they don't have anything in the context of spirituality, but they find the door being Jesus, they open up, and they find pasture. In other words, they go from a limited place to an unlimited place. Isn't that what it says in John 3? A man must be born again before he can what? See or enter the what? Kingdom of God. That means he is born out of a limited place into an unlimited place. I don't know about you, but you ask any of these babies if they could talk. They can tell you what being limited is about. Because they was in a womb. That's good English. They were in a womb, and suddenly they were born out of the womb from a limited place to an unlimited place in their perception. Are you hearing me? And when we were born again, he took us out of a limited place into an unlimited place. I want you to keep this in mind, because we're going to go somewhere this morning, saints. And I need you to hear me in the spirit, because God wants to break us out of religiosity. Even when we're trying not to be religious, we can become religious. But I curse that spirit in the name of Jesus. We're coming out of religiosity, and we're going into a fullness of Jesus Christ this morning. We're going to a place we've never been to before. We are. And so, hear me. He said, I'm the door. You shall go through it and you'll find pasture. Now, signs in the past, in the Old Testament, God used specific things as signs to point towards him. He used judgments. And even in the New Testament, he used miracles.
He used all of those things to point towards him. They were called miracles, signs, and wonders to point towards God. But in this particular text, he says, I'm not going to give you that kind of sign. I'm going to give you a sign. See, we need somebody to give us direction in everyday life. I don't know about you, but I need him to help me in my communication with my wife. I need him to help me in my communication with Joe. I need him to help me communicate to people who don't even know him. I need him. And so he says, I'm going to give you a sign. Before, it was the miracles and the wonders, and now he says, that's not adequate. I'm going to give you myself. I'm coming down now to give you direction. And he says, I'm going to send you, and his name is Emmanuel, meaning God with you. Say, the sign is not going to be just a miracle. It's not going to be this stuff. It's going to be me. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he will take what is mine and he will show it to you. If we don't have him, sometimes we're groping around in the dark. But if we allow him to minister to us, we can find some light in our darkened situation. Come on, somebody. I know you're hearing what I'm saying to you. So now he says he's a door. Yeah. See, now the Old Testament begins to give us a little information and a little understanding about what a door entails. Now, where'd Jaden go? My slide. Jay, you forgot about me, man. Okay, give me the first slide, Jay. Okay, now, he talks about, oh, it's warming up. Okay, so, yeah, you're going to get it. So he says, he's like a door. Jesus says, I am a door. Now, I need you to understand something because I'm going to show you some stuff here. Can you maximize that for me? About the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle is a type of our walk with Christ. It is how we are supposed to respond to God and how God responds to us. If we want to know what we're supposed to be in relating to God, the tabernacle is the picture that you need to study. I'm going to give a study on this in the months to come in the new years, but right now I just need to hit a couple of things on this to get you to see where I'm going. Now, the Bible says Jesus says he's the door. Right at the beginning is a multicolored door, and it's really significant because that's also what Joseph was given, a multicolored technicolored raincoat. Coat, not raincoat, it was just a coat. Multicolored raincoat. But there it is. It's a door. And the Bible says that Jesus said, if you enter the door, you enter through me, you shall find pasture. There is something in the tabernacle. Listen, when this whole fence was set up, the height was so high and it was so surrounding the tabernacle that you couldn't see what took place inside. Now you need to understand this because he said if you go through the door, you're going to find pasture. In other words, you're going to find something that you're not going to find outside. He's a sign, and that door is a sign. If you see the multicolor, it's a sign saying you can come in this way. It's a sign. Now, if you look at the rest of it, it's white linen all the way around the circumference of the tabernacle. Of the court itself. What holds up the white linen is what is called acacia wood. At the top of the acacia wood, there was silver. At the bottom, there was bronze. And then there were ropes that held everything together. On the poles, it's silver at the top, and at the bottom is brown. It represents redemption and judgment. You can't have one without the other. And that's why we need to have a balanced word. Not just what we like, but what God has ordained. If we don't have the fullness of God's word, we don't have real liberty. What brings liberty is truth. If you don't have the whole truth, you're not really free. But beloved, I tell you, if you accept the whole truth today, you'll know a liberty that you've never known before. And you can say with those people who sang those spiritual hymns, free at last. Free at last. Thank God I am free at last. Amen. Listen to it. Now listen, look at it. He says, it's bronze, and then there's silver. And the reason why it was acacia wood on those poles is because it represents an indestructible, everlasting thing. Acacia wood did not deteriorate. Good word. It didn't deteriorate. His word's not going to change. It's not going to deteriorate. It's going to stay the same. Regardless of what we feel or what we think, his word will never change. And it says that it has white linen around it. The white linen represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The ropes, the cords, is a 3-strand cord that holds everything together by a 3-strand cord. So you have redemption, judgment, righteousness, indestructible, never going to deteriorate word. Held together by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It ain't going to change. It's going to remain the same. But the good news about it, nobody from the outside can see what's going on inside. What goes on between you and God is between you and God. And he's going to make you what he wants you to be, no matter what anybody says. He's doing a work on you, and he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's behind the scenes, but he's doing a powerful work in your life. And I know sometimes you feel like giving up, but let me tell you something. God won't let you get up because he had determined to make you something for his glory. Behind the scenes. Ain't nobody seen it, but God's seen it. And you know, he brings you to that door, and my mom brought me to that door. She prayed me through that door. But the moment I stepped through that door, it was no longer my mom's faith. It was me and God. And God says, you're not coming out of this until it's your faith that brings the change in me. Your trust in me. Not your mother's or your brother's or your sister's. So you see, it's bigger. It's bigger. But there's a reason why he wants to do it. I want you to give me the other picture now. The other slide. There's a reason why. See, he wants to get us to a point. You see, this is in the farthest back of what is called the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Way into the back of the tabernacle where the high priest met with God. And when he put the offering on the mercy seat, the Bible says that God came down from heaven. That's God, the glory of God, coming down on the mercy seat. And you know what's so incredible about that? Is because they had two angels that sat on the mercy seat. And they faced each other. And those angels represented you and me. The word declares that he inhabits the praises of his people. And when we come together and talk about the goodness of God, not about us, not about what we can do, but we talk about the goodness of God. The Bible says heavens will open up and God will come down. We want God to come down. I don't want to go. I don't want just because I'm doing something good, Brother Ben. I don't want that to be about me. I don't want it to be about Brother Joe. I want it to be about the goodness of God. It's him. And it's always been him. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? We got to get somewhere. We got a ways to go, but we're going to get there. And so he constructs the tabernacle so the glory can be seen. Now, he wants to put something, that glory that you see, he wants to put in you and me. He wants to put that glory in you and me. And he wants us to bring birth to it. See, let's switch the picture now. You can take that down now. Thanks, bro. And you can come back to your seat then, Jaden. I know you do, and you want to be here anyway, right? So, he wants to put that glory in you and me. Now we pick up the picture, and we pick up the whole thing concerning the life of Joseph and Mary. And he comes to her, and he overshadows her. You see, around that tabernacle, nobody could see what was taking place. They were overshadowed. Mm-hmm. But now he comes to Mary, and he overshadows her. There's a very powerful word that comes from that word, overshadow. It's called preternatural. It's a very hard word. Something natural. Y'all know what I'm trying to say, I think. Well, let me look at it here. It's preternatural. Preternatural. In other words, it's something extraordinary. It's not normal. Unusual. So he overshadowed her to bring about something that was unusual. Abnormal. Not normal. Not regular. Not something we've seen before. This is going to be something that has never been seen when he overshadowed her. What do you think God wants to do with you and me? God has done a lot of stuff in the past. And he doesn't want to do again what he's done in the past. He wants to do something fresh and new in you and in me. Why do you think you're here? Listen, why do you think Mary and Joseph got to where they were? The Bible says that in those days, that Caesar declared a tax be put on the whole world, and they had to go back to their hometown in order to meet the tax. So this outside pressure and declare from law moved everybody to their original locations. Do you think that this thing that's happening with Brexit, that's what's happening with Donald Trump, and all of these other things that are happening in the world, you think they're by chance? No, God is taxing the church to get the church in position to bring birth to what he has put inside of her. And I'm telling you, that's what's happening to Abundant Life Church. We are not here by chance. God has not brought you here by accident. You are here because God is about to bring birth some something out of your life. That's why you're here. He has taxed you. He has taxed you and moved you to a place so that he can bring something out of you. That's why we're here. And so, Mary, and they're there, brought them there. We're talking about Jesus aside. Brought them there to this place. And not only is Mary pregnant, but her cousin, Elizabeth, pregnant too. Isn't it good when God brings you around people who are in similar circumstances as you? Because they understand what you're going through. You ever talk to somebody about what's in you and what's happening to you, and they look at you like you're crazy? Listen, this is not, and if you notice that, brought Mary and Elizabeth together. This is not just about Mary, and it's not just about Elizabeth. What God is not just about one thing. Because each one of us can beat our own drum to what we want and what we desire. But it's about a collective thing that God is bringing together to show his glory. His glory can't be seen in one thing. It has to be seen in the totality of his body. Oh, are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? And so he brings them together, and these two, they're able to talk to each other because they understand, because they're going through the same kinds of problems, the same kinds of challenges they're facing. And what's so significant about Elizabeth is what's so powerful about this situation. And we need to encourage one another, because here's Elizabeth, and she thinks the baby that is within her is dead. Because theologians will tell you it's been months since she felt any movement. And some of you in this place, it's been years since you felt movement towards the thing God is trying to do in your life. But I got good news to you this morning. Jesus is about to speak to your situation, and the thing inside of you is going to come to life. And here he is, and she sits there, and it's dead. She thinks the baby's dead. And the moment she hears Mary's voice, the Bible says the baby in Elizabeth jumps. It jumps. Here's Jesus, not even born yet, and he's doing miracles already. Some of you need to know that the thing within you isn't dead. You've been brought here so you can hear the voice that's going to bring what's in you to life. It's not my voice. It's not Joe's or Rich's voice. It's Jesus' voice. He had to tax you to get you here so he can bring the birth, what he's put inside of you. Tell your neighbor it's time to push. You don't believe it. You need to say it like you believe it. Because if you're going to birth something, I don't think any lady in here is going to sit there when they were on the birthing table. Okay, I guess it's time to push. Well, yeah. I guess we better push. It wasn't like that for me. When my babies were born and I was in the birthing room with Ms. Lisa, she was breaking my head. Push! 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 Let me tell you something. Sometimes we need to get in that birthing situation in the spirit, and we're going to do that tomorrow night. And you're going to push! Push! And push it out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you something. What God has put in you, it ain't dead. It's alive. And what God has put in you, if you're ready to push it, will come out. So here we are. What is the reason for it? I mean, hurry up and close. He's going to overshadow us because he wants to put something in us that wasn't in us before. And what is it? I need to just close up real quick. I got so much more to say, but I can't. Time's gone. It says in 2 Corinthians, now, what is it? Habakkuk 2:14. You don't have to turn, but it says this. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. It's God's intent. Yes, he wants people to be saved. Yeah. But that's not, he wants people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. He wants people to know he loves them. Yes. But that's not what he told his disciples. He said, "When I want you to go into all the world and make disciples of all men." He said, "I didn't tell you to go into the world and give people salvation. I want you to go and make them disciples. Because if they're becoming, if they become like me, if they meet me, they walk through the door and begin to come like me, everything else is going to fall into place." Habakkuk said, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord." Did you hear that? Beholding the glory of the Lord. Let me just stop right there. If in our Bible study and our personal time of devotion with God, we should be encountering the glory of the Lord. Because you don't get that transformation just coming to church. It doesn't happen just coming to church. It happens when we sit with him on a regular basis and we see him, and the transformation begins, because he begins, as you begin to open yourself up, he begins to open himself up. And you begin to see him like you've never seen him before. And it is the glory of the Lord that brings about the change. I don't know about you, but sometimes I sit in his presence. And this morning, I was sitting at the kitchen table. And sometimes I just get in his presence and everything else seems like it dissipates. And it's just me and him. And people are talking and doing what they're doing. But it's just me and him. And suddenly, I sense a presence that makes me want to fall to my face. And then suddenly, there's a change I can sense taking place in my life. That's what we need. That's what we need. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Am I getting some point across to you this morning? Listen. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unfailed faith, that means my faith is open. Not like Moses. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as this, by the Spirit of the living God. He says we're being transformed from glory to glory. Transformed. And with unveiled face. And it says in the verses previously that Moses, when he came from the presence of God, he had a veil on his face to hide the glory. But yet, his glory that he received, it faded away. The glory that was on Moses faded away. But the New Testament tells me the glory that we receive shall never fade away. It's eternal. Eternal glory. Now listen to me, beloved. What we need right now is we don't need, listen. At times we in the body of Christ, we're pressured to do things. We're pressured to witness. We're pressured to do this. We're pressured to give. We're pressured to do that. We're pressured from everywhere. You need to be like this. You need to be like that. I'm giving you a solution here today that you can relieve the pressure. Because Jesus and God's biggest concern is not what you do, but what you become. If you're becoming like him, you'll do what he does. Are you hearing me? Now listen, I'm going to close right here. I know I said that a minute ago, but I am. I am going to close. I just want to go back to something that'll help us. Back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Because you and I can have impact in such a way on one another. That's extraordinary. He said, Mary, let me read it to you. Let's read it right here. It says, he said, what is in you, Mary, is not of man, but is of the Holy Ghost. It's not from man, but it's from the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. See, you know what gives God glory and what really allows his glory to be seen in you? Is when you allow him to put something in you that only he can get the glory for. When you allow him to put something in you that only he can get the glory for. Because if he's going to get the glory, I can't say, look what I did. See, Mary couldn't say, look what I did. And definitely Joseph couldn't say, more definitely Mary couldn't say, look what I did. But definitely, and also Joseph couldn't say, look what I did.
because none of them had anything to do with it. It was God. And if God's going to get the glory for anything, if he's going to be glorified in anything, it's got to be something he does. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? The sign for life for us is simply to be available for him to put something into us that we can't put in ourselves. Only he can do it, and only he will get the glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? We want that, amen? And it doesn't just happen with me. It doesn't just happen with Rich or Joe or Lisa or Am or AJ or anything. It happens with all of us. God wants to put something in every one of us that he wants to bring to birth. And it takes all of us to see it happen. We call it revival. That's what we call it. But I call it simply declaring and making the glory of the Lord seen and available. It has to happen through all of us. Are you with me? Let's stand. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray for each and everybody in this place, and I pray, God, you would put something into us that we've never had before. God, I pray you would instill in us something glorious, something powerful that only comes from you, so that when anything is said, it's only you that's going to get the glory. God, we pray that you would birth something through us as a group of people, that it would glorify your name and bring honor to you. We pray, God, that out of the birthing, out of this producing of your glory in our lives and in every aspect of our life, you would be honored, glorified, and it would bring joy to your heart. God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.